The shout of a voice of triumph is what happened when the singers went before the army, and before the battle had started, they already believed that God gave them victory, so they declared triumph before the fight. I'm going to try that again. I thought someone would get excited. I thought the song says shout for it, right? So I thought someone might say something. So it's the idea, shouting with them is when you can give God praise before the fight's over. Right? I'm going to tell you how it looked. King David went before Goliath, and he got a little shout on before he even fought him. And he started telling him, oh, it's a bad day for you. It's a bad day for you. You picked the wrong God, the wrong day, the wrong fight. Today, your head will be off. It's the idea of a voice of triumph, declaring victory from the beginning. The Bible says God declares the end from the beginning. So in your life, when God speaks to you, if he tells you you can have something, that means he already went to you having it, took the seed of you having it, and brought it to you and said, will you praise me right here? Because I'm giving you the seed of the end. The scripture says he declares the end from the beginning. Now, when he speaks it to us, it sounds like the beginning, but the end is already in it. For he is the author and finisher of whatever we receive by faith. I was a free one. Amen. So that's why when we praised in the new year, I was giving him thanks for what he's going to do, not what he's already done. I thanked him for what he's done, but I declared my new year already. Have you declared this year is going to be good, or are you waiting to see if it's good? Because let me tell you, if you're waiting to see how it goes, I can kind of tell you how it'll go. You're going to be too busy. You're not going to enjoy yourself. You're going to get pressured. You're going to complain, and you're not going to have all your dreams. If you're waiting to see how it goes, that's what you get. You get the same thing everybody else gets that's not moving in faith. But faith gives you the substance of the thing when you can't even see it. I got the title deed before I'm in the house. But I get happy when I have the title deed. Anybody ever bought a house and had to wait 3 days to get the keys? A lot of us have bought houses before, and when you sign, that doesn't mean you get the keys right then, because there's some stuff that still has to happen. But you don't stop from going out to dinner and having a steak and saying, I can't wait, and already start making plans of the furniture you're going to put in there, the party you're going to have to invite family over, but you're not even in it yet. How can you do that? Because you believe you own it already. There's an expectation that you own it. I was free again. I'm going to try to get someone happy. I can always get the kids happy. Did you put that dollar in church today? Did that feel good? Did you like giving it? She worked me over yesterday. I'm not sure if you can see, but she's pretty proud of this red thing here. And wallet, she said. And she told me, she goes, Dad, I need some money. I got no money in my wallet. And I said, that's my girl right there. I don't want her to be comfortable with an empty wallet. Amen. I gave her a dollar, and she looked at me like this. Like, what's a dollar going to do? And it's like, wow, 4 years old, and she already knows that I don't got to be broke, Dad. What are we teaching our kids? Are we teaching our kids how to be blessed and redeemed and how to walk by faith? Are we teaching them that, hey, son, this is how you do it. If you have a goal and God will work with you and you'll work with God, you can have anything and you can do anything. Do we teach our kids that? And do we show them by example, this is how you do it? No, you don't stress and worry right now. You go to faith. We are blessed and we declare the blessing and we sow from our faith what God has given us freely. Do we teach our children? Can our kids learn by the example of living at our house how to be blessed? And everybody said, amen. Can the community around us say, you know what? If you want to be blessed, that's how you do it. You need to go talk to that person. They know how to have joy and peace even through struggles. They seem to be able to shine even when darkness surrounds. They always have a word of encouragement or something of life to offer regardless of the season. They're instant in season, out of season. And I tell you what, I believe if you need something from God, talk to them, because they seem to have a direct contact with them. They seem to talk to them every day. Oh, man, if you're happy, go talk with that person, because they're going to praise God with you, because they rejoice with those who rejoice. Are you sad? You know what? You should probably go talk to Kalen, because he will mourn with those who mourn, and he has a way of trying to encourage those who are mourning to bring them into dancing. Is that the reputation of the saints of God? The Bible says, according to Isaiah 61, that the whole world is going to know who God's children are, because they're going to see them in their prosperity, in their blessing, in the life God gave them, and they're going to declare, absolutely, surely, this is the seed or people in who God has blessed. It's definitely those people. God has blessed them. The church, the body of Christ, is supposed to be recognized by the whole world as the seed in which God has blessed. So are you waiting to see if you're blessed, or are you already putting it on display? Because if you're blessed, what are you worried about? If I'm not blessed, then I start worrying, because then I have to work it out myself, uncle. If I'm not blessed, then I have to find out a way to do it myself. But if I'm blessed, then I just lean on the blessing when I need something. When I need help, I lean on where my blessing came from. Do you know how to draw from the blessing? It's one thing to declare, because everybody will say, and how you doing? Blessed. It's just like a tagline, you know? Hashtag blessed. What does that mean? And how do you draw on it? And how do you get the value out of hashtag blessed? How do you actually draw it out of every day? When you have a struggle, when you have a challenge, when you're in need, when your enemies come against you, when you don't know what to do, when sickness knocks on your door, when depression tries to come calling, how do you hashtag blessed? How do you do it? How do you live it? And we have to know how to live in the blessing. If they would put on the script or on the board for me a scripture, I want to say praise the Lord to all of our live streamers. We have live streamers listening from Texas to Louisiana, Eastern Washington. Apostle Rainwater should be listening, surrounded by snow in a beautiful cabin right now. We have people in Wenatchee and Orondo. Continue to pray for the church of Wenatchee that launched the end of last year, which we'll be going over tonight or right after service. My family and I are driving over there. Going to preach the word in Wenatchee. Can't wait to see everybody. But there's people listening all over. And I want you to know we share a common testimony. Our testimony is that we've been redeemed, that God has done something for us. Nobody earned it. Nobody got themselves blessed just by being so smart or so good within themselves. So on the screen, I'm going to put the year's definition of defining moments. It comes from a scripture, Deuteronomy 30, and we're going to put 19 and 20 in the Amplified Version if they would do that for me. So our year, this year's defining moments. Let me tell you something about a defining moment when it comes to God. Once you have come to the conclusion by faith that God has forgiven you of your sins and opened up the door or the veil of separation that you no longer are separate from God, trying to do things so he'll open up to you, but instead he has opened up to you so you no longer have to hide from him, but you come to God for your needs. The Bible says that God is able to supply above and beyond what you could ask or think. And so you learn now in this new relationship to come to God rather than to hide from God. So we all have the same testimony that I didn't put myself in hashtag blessed status. Because if I put myself there, then I got to keep myself there. And I tell you what, if you try to live your life seeing if you're blessed based on how good you're doing on your own strength, it'll be up and down and up and down. You ever seen somebody that's just so, one day they're going to start a business that's going to take over the world. The next day, they're not sure if they're going to even make it through the day. So up and so down. Huge dreams, no dream. Can do all things, can't do nothing. Because they're trusting in their own strength. Hashtag bless is not your blessing coming out of you and your own goodness from your flesh, but you have found the blessing in God and connected your life to the blessing that flows from heaven to earth. And you live your life drinking from that well, drawing from that vine, bearing fruit from that life. So I have before me, I have two, I will call them trees, okay? And as we read the scripture, I want you to picture the one here on my left, It's a little bigger than the one on the right. So this is called life, and this is called death. This is the blessing, and this is the curse. So when we read scripture, I want you to have a picture. If you're listening via live stream, look at two things in your house and be able to refer to every time I say the blessing or life to one thing and something else with the curse and death. We might as well read it together. Ready? Read. I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. Verse 20. And may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, sometimes we read Old Testament and we don't see how we're connected with it. It just sounds like, okay, I'm so glad I wasn't born in that time, so I don't have to worry about that. But I want you to know that when we start talking about the blessing to get out of the curse, and I hope I've explained it well over the last few weeks, we were all born, anybody born into the flesh, you were born with a sinful nature. You were born a slave to the curse, meaning there was nothing you could do in your own power to get you out of the sin that was in your nature. You received it from being born of the flesh from Adam. There was sin in the flesh, and everybody born in the flesh, I don't care how cute they are as a baby, eventually will bite you. They learn to say no in mine real quick because there's something in the nature of me, mine, self. There's a nature to it. And the Bible says no matter how good you think you are without God, if you were born in that curse, and anybody here born from a woman? Raise your hand if you're born from a woman. Okay, so everybody here, if you were born from a woman, then you were born, and the best that you could do for righteousness' sake, for God's standard, would be filthy rags. So nobody could do it. Everybody was drawing from a nature that God says, it's a curse. Now, he doesn't have to put a voodoo curse on you for you to be under the curse. But the curse is the separation that Adam and Eve felt when they left God's presence. Learning to live their life by the sweat of their brow, by what they could do themselves, and how to hide from the sin that was showing up in their life. So they hid themselves from God. And they also had to deal with an enemy that they used to have authority over, but now they yielded their authority to an enemy. So Satan now used the sin and that nature of death that was working in us to control us. And so one of the great controllers in the curse is fear. And when you live by fear, you're drawing from the curse. So when Jesus showed up on the scene, Jesus says, I didn't even come to accuse you, but I came to offer you life and that you would have life more abundantly. I am offering you a way to disconnect from the curse and connect to the blessing, to the life, and to the hope that God originally intended for every person, every child, every boy, every girl, every woman, every man, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every person. Every person, I have a plan that I'm going to offer them to disconnect from drawing from a curse in death and to connect to a blessing in life. So I want you to know that you live in a day and age where presented in your lifetime, it's already here. You no longer have to draw from the same source that leads to death and to curse. You don't have to stay connected. Sometimes we feel we do, and so we have testimonies that there was nothing I could do. The family I was born into, the situation I was in, the circumstance that were around me, the woman you gave me, said Adam. We always have something, but what it is every individual is choosing to draw, because when God came, the Bible said that he presented liberty so that the captives could be set free. My point is, when there was no other choice and nobody to help you disconnect, you were stuck. That's why you were considered a slave. But when Jesus came and said, I came to set the captives free, He then gave us a choice to choose life. And so when we read the scripture, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day. I want you to know, set before you, there's a curse and there's death. Yes, it's there. And we don't like it. And we ask the question, why do babies die? And why is there murder? And why do people do something? Because it comes from the curse or the separation of God or righteousness without God himself. Without life, death can't produce it. And so we see what we don't like, and we so often concentrate, and we hear the news about the curse. But the Bible says when Jesus came, there was good news. There was new life. There was new hope. There was new power, and it was greater than the power of death because he resurrected. He said, death, go ahead and swallow me, and let me show you how powerful you are or how powerful you are not. He was the light that came into darkness and says, where is darkness when I'm here? For it seems to be light all around me. For he's the light of the world. And he says, if I call something blessed, it's blessed. For he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Connected to me, you're going to bear the fruit of the blessing of life, of the original plan of God for you. But if you stay connected to the curse, the Bible says you can know a tree by its fruit. Don't judge me, Pastor. I'm not. I'm just telling you, you're an apple tree. Whatever your fruit is, that must be the root. Talk with me. Don't get mad at me. So if you say, well, Pastor, I know that God is planted in my life. I know that I'm saved, but I have this anger problem. What I'm suggesting to you is somehow there's a connection to the curse still that you need to have removed. The Bible says that the word of God is good for doing all kinds of things, including uprooting. So that means things that were rooted in your life before. The word of God and faith in the word and reliance on the word and the planting of the word in your life can root out old things. You don't have to just say that's just how the Rainwaters are or the Johnsons are. It runs in the family. Well, curse ran in the family until Jesus came. That's why you must be born again. So I want to point out to you that that scripture is telling us, I record this day. Today is important. Right now is important of your choosing. I'm setting before you, there's a curse in death. There's a blessing in life. And it's my will that you would choose life so that not only you will live, but the next generation and the next generation and everything connected to you will be known for coming from the blessing. How am I doing? I need encouragement. I'm just one of those guys. I mowed the lawn one time. I went in the house. My wife didn't say nothing, and I didn't feel like mowing it next week because she didn't encourage me. I thought the lines were perfect. I thought I had done it. I wanted something said. So I ask you the question, have you chosen? Do you know for sure you've chosen? Do you know absolutely for sure I have chosen life and the blessing, and I recognize that life and the blessing came through Jesus who offered himself for me so that I no longer had to be connected to that. He paid the payment for disconnection. You know, some of us, we move from one house to another, but we don't handle our business when we move and only to have a debt chase us. You ever had a debt chase you? And you try to hide from it. You know how it is. I don't know that number. That's a fishy number. And you're hiding from things chasing you. Well, some saints are hiding from things chasing you. But I want you to know Jesus says, hey, listen, I will close your account at the old well and pay it off with my own blood so that you can be completely disconnected from it and completely be connected to the life and the blessing that I have for you. Anybody ever had to pay all the money up front to pay an old debt that was chasing you? And it's something from years ago. That'll tick you off because usually what they do is right when you're ready to leap forward, say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't leap yet. You can't leap until you deal with your past, right? And it seems like with God, every time I get bold enough to get ready to take a step, the devil reminds me of my debts. And he tries to take me back and say, no, 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 you're still connected to the curse. You can't go. And then I call God and say, God, I'd like to come to the party, but I'm working. I'm working this curse over here. Can't make it. So that's why God says, come to me, all who labor. You've been laboring too long. Come to me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm going to give you rest. Come over here. Come connect to life. Come connect to me. Anybody here know that they're saved and spirit-filled, but still see some tendencies of that old thing creeping up on them? Anybody see that? Let's just be honest. Doesn't that make you mad? It makes me mad. I told my wife the other day, man, I don't like it when I see myself doing things or saying something or being casual about something that I know I don't have to deal with that no more. I don't have to deal with that no more. This is my life. So I just want to make sure that you know that on this day, that there's nothing that you have done that you can't choose for yourself today. That there's no obligation that he can't pay for. There's no taskmaster that he can't lord over, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the great I am. And he said, I'm going to make it impossible for you to have two lords. You can't have two masters because you can't answer both masters. So you have to, in order for anybody to get saved, you know what they have to say? You're no longer my master. You're my master. Anybody who's saved, the Bible says you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, what it means is it's not just something that you said from over here, but stayed connected with this Lord. It means that you divorce this one. I'm no longer going to answer to you. You're not my shepherd to tell me where and when I can go. This is my Lord. And because he's my Lord, I draw from him. I listen to him. I follow him. So when you say that you're Lord, it's a confession, the same way that you would stand in front of witnesses and God and says, I will marry them for the rest of my life. Anybody that stands up and says, Jesus is Lord, you are really making a covenant with God before the angels and before men that I no longer belong to another. I'm no longer drinking from that well. The blessing. And what I liked in verse 20, can we just move forward to verse 20 one more time? He's telling you to choose life, and then watch what he says. And that you may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him. If you've chosen life, cling to life. The Bible tells a husband, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. That word cleave is to hold on to more important than anything else that you could grab. Cleave, right? Cleave. There's a separation. I got to leave mama and daddy's house to have this. I have to start something new to do this new thing. So you cleave. Well, that's a short term. That's only as long as you're alive on the earth. And just so you know, it happens real quick. Funerals all of a sudden come up real quick. People just die. You only have so many breaths. Just real quick go. You have one less now. Because you only have so many. You just use one. I'm just trying to help you here. They're numbered. You got one less. What you going to do with the rest of them? The Bible says, let everything that has breath draw from God. Wish I could teach it. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 1, and we'll go all the way to 14. Since this is the long part of Scripture, Shamsuddin, I'm just going to keep going so you can keep the screen moving for me. Galatians 3, 1, are you blessed? Then continue in the blessing. Choose God. Galatians 3, 1, Oh, you poor and silly, thoughtless, unreflecting, and senseless Galatians. Paul, take it easy on them. This is a church. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes you look and it's like, we get so touchy if people speak to us a certain way. But the apostles in the old day would tell you, you acting like a fool. For fools fight God. Don't fight God. They would say it plain like that, you know. Oh, you poor. Now this, obviously, this isn't us. We're these guys. But listen to what he says. Oh, you poor. Wait a minute. I thought the blessing makes me rich and adds no sorrow. I can't even hardly understand him calling me poor. Do you know that if you say you're blessed and you have connected to life, then you should also say you're rich? You understand that, right? Where is that? Let's leave this and go to Proverbs. We'll come back to this. Proverbs 10:22. This is what Proverbs says. Remember, he said, I set before you blessing and cursing. I present before you the blessing, T-H-E, the blessing. There is a blessing. Not everything's a blessing. Not everything that glitters is gold. Ladies, just because he smelt good with cologne don't mean he smells good in his spirit. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord. When I connect, this is the blessing of the curse. I've been over. I thought I called the bigger one the blessing, but you know every time I say blessing that I'm connected to the blessing, all right? The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Meaning like the blessing, whatever comes from it to my life doesn't add sorrow to me. My sorrows don't come from my connection to the blessing. My sorrows come from my connection to the curse. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. So when he says, you poor and silly, I'm looking over my shoulder, connected to the blessing, like, who's he talking about? Because I'm not poor. Because I'm blessed. How could I be poor if I'm blessed? For the blessing of the Lord makes rich. I'm connected to that. I've declared I'm connected. I have chosen. Have you chosen? If you've chosen, then shout for joy and be glad. That's what Scripture says. Scripture says they should be glad that have connected to me and my purpose. They should shout for joy. They should say continually, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God takes pleasure in my prosperity. I'm not poor. How could you got the wrong guy then? All right, go back to Galatians 3:1. You have to know that when you're no longer connected to the curse, you don't answer to it. When they call you that old name, they're not talking to you. That person died. Remember the baptism in the water over here? Bible says when you're baptized, you take part of the death of Christ so that you can be risen with Christ. That's that separation. That was my old guy. He dead. That's why if somebody wants to come kill me, it's like, I'm already dead. How are you going to kill me? The Bible says, don't fear those that can kill the body alone, but he who can kill both spirit and body and put you into eternal damnation. The devil no longer has the keys to hell. Only Jesus, the righteous judge. And he's saying, I set before you this day. Choose. It seems like an easy decision. I gave the example the other day, and you saw my little four-year-old choose the $20 bill over the other thing real quick. She didn't want a dirty rag. She wanted the $20 because she valued the $20. And it was plain. And she didn't think for a long time. Sometimes we act like God, we want to think about this thing. Well, let me decide life and the blessing of God and eternal salvation or slave to the devil, sin, every sin that could ever be named, sorrows, and the great expectation of eternal damnation. God, I just need some time to think about this. And we really do. And we don't want to answer because we don't want to answer on that day. But by not answering that day, it's an answer. That is an answer. No answer is an answer. Because you only get saved by accepting the answer. Just so you know, you have about 100 breaths less than the last time I said something. Some of you are starting to breathe faster and you're getting nervous. Oh, slow down. Deep breathing, slow, slow. Thank you, thank you. I'll be here for a couple more hours. Who has fascinated or bewitched or cast a spell over you? Unto whom, right before your very eyes, Jesus Christ the Messiah was openly and graphically set forth and portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as the result of obeying the law and doing its works, or was it by the hearing of the message of the gospel and believing it was from the observing of the law rituals or from a message of faith? So how did you choose the blessing in life? Was it by your own good works and strength and things? Or did you receive the gift of the blessing of God because you simply heard about it and believed it and said, I want that? And you received it by faith. How did you get the Spirit of God? How did you tap into the blessing? Did anybody work their way to it? Raise your hands so I can see you. Because I want you to start me a business. Start me a business, sweetie. Nobody worked their way there. We received it by choosing, by accepting what God did good for us and offered it to us. And we said, yes, thank you very much. So he says, if that's how you started, why would you then disconnect to connect back to trying to work it out, to work the blessing in your old nature? Why are you trying to draw from the blessing by disconnecting and getting back into yourself to do it? So then we start building a resume. You know what I think about resumes in God. You know, I go to church, I do this, I sing in the choir. And God says, yeah, but let's just look at the record book. Life, death, blessing, curse. Which one do you draw from? Got quiet. Next verse. Are you so foolish, so senseless and silly? Not me. I'm not me. Having begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit, are you now reaching perfection by dependence on the flesh? If you started the new life blessed and confessing that you're saved and spirit-filled, I got Jesus on my mind and I'm running for my life. You know the song? If anybody asks you what's my problem, tell them I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm Holy Ghost filled, I'm water baptized, I got Jesus on my mind, and I'm running for my life. I'm connected over here. And he's saying, why would you disconnect and then come over here and start trying to be perfected? And we say, I wouldn't, because if it really is to no purpose and in vain, is the blessing of God really of no purpose? Is the life that he offered really of no purpose? Is the blood of Jesus really not valuable? Is the Holy Spirit really just insignificant? We go on. Then does he who supplies you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you do so on the grounds of your doing what the law demands, or because of your believing in and adhering to and trusting and relying on the message that you heard? How does God work for you? How do you see miraculous signs? How do you see testimonies come forward? Is it because of you working so hard and good to please God that he drops you a blessing and says, you've been good, here's your wage, one drop of blessing, and you say, thank you, may I have another? And then you keep begging God to drop more. Or have you learned to tap into the place where the blessing flows? How do you draw from this life that we talk about? Because there's a mystery to it. The Bible says the world cannot know how to draw what they cannot see. But you, I'm going to give you eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart and a mind to comprehend what no earthly person has ever been able to see, understand, or even know existed. Because it's only spiritually. Therefore, you must be born again to really start living a life connected to the blessing of God. or because of your believing and adhering to. Thus Abraham believed in and adhered to Father Abraham, in which it said back in Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20, he says, I want you to be blessed like I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to go back to when I first offered the blessing to man. I want to go back to the first place and the first person to receive it. And I said, if you will receive the blessing, then I can put it through your family line. We can pass it on like inheritance. And then he told us the same thing. If you would receive it, then you can also pass it to your seed. So now he's referencing back to that first man who was brought the choice. And he looked and he said, And then he looked over here and he said, And he turned his back and he left his mother and father's country and he walked after God by following God's direction, not his own. He didn't work it out himself. He didn't do things that please God by saying, God, I hope you like this. I'm going to build this for you. But instead, he believed God when God says, I'm going to bless you. He said, Lord, you're going to bless me because you said you're going to bless me. He trusted the word of God. He trusted God. And by doing so, he saw miracles happen. He saw impossible situations come possible. Even the weakness of his own body. He had no child. He was too old and his wife was too old. But when by faith they disconnected from trusting self and connected to the blessing of God, they had a child who was now on the other side of the street. No longer on that side of the tracks with sin and death, but on this side in blessing and life. And so Isaac was born from the seed of faith. This Abraham is the one I'm talking about here. He was the first to get into this thing. And when you follow his life, it's amazing because he was blessed. He was so blessed that nations came to him for help. Nations came to a man for help. Multiple nations came to him for help. He saved kingdoms. And because of him, the blessing of God started moving on the earth. And that's why Jesus had to be born from the Jewish bloodline, because that came from the bloodline of Abraham. Abraham is Israel and the Jews. And his seed is still blessed today because of a choice. He's blessed today. And it's called the blessing of Abraham. This is that same blessing God offered him, and now he's offering it to you, but you might have to divorce the curse to tap into the blessing. You might have to make a choice, and heaven and earth is recording it today. That's a defining moment. Keep it here. Thus, Abraham believed in, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied on God. And it was reckoned and placed to his account. He has an account, right? And he, when he was connected over here just to himself and to sin and death and his future, he couldn't put in his account righteousness. He could only put in, even when I try to do good, it's filthy rags to the Lord. It never meets the standard. And ultimately, in the end, it's going to die. Because I don't have the ability to stop death in my own life. Therefore, we try to do as much as we can because we know we're going to die. And then we're fearful of the other side of death because we don't believe or know for sure that we're connected to life. So he has an account up there. And he's no longer, this was the first man to actually put it up there called faith, even though we know that other people are listed in the hall of faith. But this is where the blessing really came clear, that God is going to have you choose, not by your works, but by a decision. You have two things. Which one do you want? Good and evil. Life and death. Light and dark. Blessing and curse. Which one do you want? And how easy is it? What do we all say? Give me life. Now that's good when you say in some places, but don't say it when you're in the pen. Some people are afraid to say life because they're thinking, well, that's a long time. Why? Because their mind is still, I don't know if I want to still be life. It's amazing what things you say that affect different people different based on where they're at in their life. I tell a story. I was doing a mentorship program with this one gentleman who had a little problem with weed. When I say a little problem, everyday problem with weed. But it wasn't his fault because his mama and his daddy and his grandma smoked. So he was raised up in it, and it's not his fault. He didn't see that he could choose, right? And so we were in the car, and I'm trying to talk to him about vision and about, you know what, there's ways, because he never has enough money for stuff, that, you know what? What do you see around here? Well, there's lots of houses. What do you see in the house? There's yards. And do you think you could mow those lawns? If I buy you a lawnmower, a brand new lawnmower, you want to go start a lawn business and start going house to house and getting accounts and start, and then maybe you get to the point where you employ other people. And so we're driving down the street, and I'm teaching him that he can have a seed that starts with one good decision that can grow into a business for other people to get employed in. But it all starts with, you got to start. You got to have a defining moment. And I was asking him, can we record today that you're going to start? And all of a sudden, the police went by with their lights on. He got real uncomfortable. Ooh, there they go. Always creeping. And I had a completely different relationship. I went like this. Hi! Hey! Honk, doot, doot. He's trying to hide. I'm trying to wave because of our consciousness. He had a guilty consciousness that made him believe, I deal with drugs every day. Everything needs to be hidden quiet. And the police are the enemy to my life, rather than helping me make right decision. Oftentimes, when people don't want to decide, they bite those that try to bring them to decision. They want to leave their mother and father's house because they don't want to follow the rules. They want to leave this situation because they call them out on something they should have done. They want to leave the job because they got in trouble for being on their phone when they're supposed to be at work. Well, everybody else does it. Yeah, but what does your employment contract say? Don't tell me about everybody else. What do you choose to do? Talk, make a decision for yourself. Be a good employee yourself. Sometimes I wonder how so many people call me during the day when they're at work. I'm like, they must have a long lunch break. Because they wouldn't do it on the clock. I know they wouldn't do that. They just wouldn't do it. So Abraham, he had an account, and it was credited to his account as righteousness or conforming to the divine will and purpose and thought and action of God. He got counted for what was coming out of the blessing, even though he didn't produce the blessing, he just chose it. And because he chose it, his account said blessed. Now, I don't know about his brother and stuff that he had to leave behind, but I can see his brother thinking, what makes you so think you so special? Sometimes people will try to tell you that you're no different than they are, even though you made the choice. And I want you to know you are way different. Way different than they are. Now, not in a way to judge them, but you're redeemed. You are saved for eternity. Your name is literally written on a scroll in heaven by God Himself. Yeah, you're different. You are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. All of the world should see that you are connected to a life that is blessed. The whole world should see it because it's credited to you. Righteous, blessed, favored, above only, never beneath, alive, light, salt of the earth, children of God, holy people. But don't get caught up thinking that you're doing it by how hard you're working connected to the old life. It's been given to your account. Because when you linked up with the blessing, you now have joint accounts. I was so thankful when I was in college that my mom had access to my account. Now, sometimes I was sad because she could see how poor I did with it. But other times I was glad because I could call and say, hi, Mom. Just really rough over here. Stuff came up. Books cost way more than I thought. And it's like, books, just so you know, I'm looking at your account. I don't see one book. Well, that's what I'm saying. I still got to buy the books. Need some money. But I was so happy that she had access to my account, because sometimes when I didn't deserve it, I would look and it was positive. Oh, man. If you've ever looked at your account when you know it deserves to be negative and it's positive, you will get happy. And my account was positive. And now Abraham, who had a debt that he couldn't pay off, he couldn't get himself out of this hole, suddenly connected to something. And when he checked his account, it said, righteous, blessed, and favored by God. Can you believe it? And what did he do? He believed, adhered to, trusted, and connected to, stayed vitally connected. Ooh, that's a mean harmonica. I like that. I'm not sure if you know it, but our founder, Apostle Jesse Rainwater, plays a mean harmonica. If you ever want to really push him, call him out on that. See if he'll do it. He also plays a little bit of horn, but we'll say again, a little bit. Love you, Dad. He's listening. So I'm trying to tell us that God wants us to choose, not for the sake of saying, choose, yep, see, I told you, you're evil. Because he so wants you to be named as righteous. He so much wants for you to taste and see that the Lord is good. He so much wants you to have the life and the blessing and the inheritance of what he has died for you to have. He wants you to have it. The Bible says it's not God's will that one person would stay connected to death. It's not his will that one person. And he values you more than a million sparrows. You're valuable to him. And he's so I don't want you to feel judgment when you are asked, will you choose life? I want you to see it like you won the lottery. Because the Bible says, what good would it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? It's better than the lottery. You couldn't, the lottery cannot afford to put in your account righteous and blessed. See, that's how she makes her money, right? You see what she did? She knows how to work, Dad. I can't let her do that and not bless her back, you know? She just tapped into my account. We got joint accounts, her and I. I see you, girl. I see you. But I'm trying to explain this thing where we can all see it. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he's watching me. When you're connected to God, you don't have to wonder, God, do you hear me? The Bible says this is the confidence that you have of salvation. Anytime you call on him, he hears you right then. That's what 1 John chapter 5 says. It says that for sure, this is our confidence. Because of him, I'm so confident that if I say, thank you, Jesus, he says, you're welcome. If I say, Lord, I need you, he says, here I am. Why? Because we are in relationship. I'm not disconnected from him. If you start asking God, God, are you with me? Then the question needs to come to you. No, 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 no. Are you connected to him? Rather than find out if he's with you, let me ask you, choose this day. Are you with him? Lord, are you with me? And then you hear a question. Choose. And you say, I did choose. And he said, then why are you over there? That was a good one, Jose. Ever since that the zoo, our young kids have been in the service with all of us adults, just so you know, we're praying for a director. The zoo is going to be opening soon, but we still need a director. So Can we just pray for 30 seconds that all these young people, 12 years and under, are going to have great teachers and a great platform to touch and agree with faith, to dance, to worship, to have a great time back here at the Vine Christian? Can we pray for that director right now? Lord, I thank you for raising up a director that has the heart to be able to serve in that capacity with patience and kindness, Lord, with the intensity and passion of the love of Christ, Lord, to help raise our young people and bring them to places of defining moments where even our young people say that I am redeemed. Lord, I thank you for that person coming forward and, Lord, all the help that's going to be around them, and let this be a defining moment even in their life and future, in Jesus' name. But ever since I've had the kids here, I've always felt that I have a responsibility to make sure that not just the adults get it, but if they're here and I'm the teacher, my message needs to be understood by every age. And so it's given me the freedom to get a little loose, I guess. So if you're looking and saying, Pastor Rainwater's kind of, you know, loose, the kids are doing it to me. The kids are doing it to me. If you hang around kids long enough, you'll find yourself doing things you never thought you would do. Amen. You know? I was a horse the other day and they rode me, you know, just stuff you never thought you would do. Kids will do it to you. But the Bible says that it's the praises of children that show the adults how God really wants it done. So if I get silly, I'm going to say like David, I'll get more silly than that in the freedom of God. That's what David told his wife, who got mad at him for dancing before the Lord. But I feel encouraged to make sure that I want everybody to get it. I want Sequoia to get it. But I also want Elizabeth to get it. So it's tough to have a message for all ages, you know what I mean? But Christ did. And so the offer doesn't matter how old you are. If you're a young person in this place, I want you to know I don't care what's happened around you, choices of your parents. I don't care about some of the situations you've been through, hurts in your life, your friends around you. The Bible says at the point in which you can choose is the moment that you can have it. And I want you to know the offer for life and for what God has for you is available today. You don't have to wait till you get old to choose. You can choose right where you're at. You don't have to get up and do a dance to choose, but you might. But you can choose from your seat today. You can choose from listening via live stream today. You can choose from another nation, but this word reached you because the word is giving you the offer of life. And it's the same one that Abraham had, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and the will of God could be done in his life. Anybody ever feel like, I'm saved, but it doesn't seem like God's will is happening because it seems like I'm still drawing from what I don't like? Well, you have to learn to be connected properly. He says, if you're a branch that's not connected to the vine, you can't produce the fruit of the vine that you're supposed to be connected to. So whatever you're connected to is what you bear fruit from. And God says that he took you as a branch that was grafted into the tree of life, the blessing of God. So therefore, we need to learn to live daily by drawing from God. I'm hoping that this is fun and enjoyable, but deep. Yea, the deep things of God. Even the oracles of God. Next verse. Can you stay with me a little longer? I almost said almost done. I'm doing this is what I'm trying to say. Apostle Paul says, know and understand that it is really the people who live by faith who are the true sons or children of Abraham. Because some people stayed connected to sin and death and the curse, right? They stayed connected to it, but they said, no, I'm with him. I'm one of Abraham's children because they came from that natural bloodline. They were a Jew, right? And so some of them were saying, no, I'm righteous already because I'm one of Abraham's children. Jesus, when he was speaking with the Jews, one time he was talking with them, and he was telling them, I want to save you from your sins. And they said, we don't need saving from our sins. We're Abraham's children. And he says, if you were really Abraham's children, you would delight at my coming. But instead, you want to kill me because you're actually children of the devil. He said that, and you know what they did? They looked for stones. They were ready to stone him. They said, let's get him. blaspheme. Why? Because he was trying to bring them to the decision to choose life. But they said, we don't need it. We already have it right here. That's a tough place to be in when you don't even desire to have what Christ offers. You don't even desire what life is and what blessing is because you're content with what you got. The rich young ruler wanted to stay connected to this, but he wanted the inheritance of that. And so he said, well, what must I do? Tell me what to do and I'll just do it. And Jesus says, well, you can't really do it from there. Go ahead and follow the law perfectly. And he looked at him and said, well, I'm doing that. So Jesus said, okay, then I'm going to show you there's one thing that you lack. He brought him to a place of choice and said, sell all that you got, give to the poor, and come follow me. Disconnect from this and come connect with this and follow me. I am eternal life. And the rich young ruler left sad because he didn't want to disconnect from this life. He would have rather just been able to do it himself rather than to receive it from God. I want you to know you can't do it yourself. You have to receive it from God. It is a choice, and it's offered. It's free. Sometimes I have to be careful when I'm preaching that I don't make God too cheap because it's sometimes you feel like you're trying to give it away so bad. It's kind of like, I'll give you a dollar if you take it. You know, you just want someone to take it so bad that you feel like you have to market it. But the minute you market it a certain way, everybody smells it and goes, something fishy. Too cheap. You know what's funny? Watch this. You'll like this one. I have found that when I give my time freely, it's less value than when I charge for it. I have found that people value my time less if I just give it to them free. If I charge them for it, the time is more important to them. And I have found out that people would rather pay for my time and take it more serious than just have it free. And then it doesn't matter when I show up, what I do, da, da, da. Oh, but if you charge them for the time, every minute's important. They want it. They want every minute to be, come on, give it to me. So, you know, I started realizing. Talking to my wife, and she said, hey, we need to talk about announcements. I said, that will be $20. And she said, take it out of my check. But it's amazing how you can get to the point where you think you're doing, your account is righteous because of you. It came from choosing and receiving from God. So have you chosen? Just get that clear. We understand who the true sons of Abraham are because they live by faith. Live by faith means they draw from this. They drink from this well. They eat from this. You know, when they were in the wilderness, you remember the manna that fell down from heaven? Everybody know the manna? What was manna? Bread from heaven, right? So every day, God would supply, and they knew it came from the source that was called blessed life in God. They knew that it was coming from God. They knew it was bread from heaven. They knew it was from God. They knew it had nothing to do with themselves or their own lives or the earth or the flesh. They know no person was able to do this. So they knew that they were being supplied daily by what came from God. And they got to the point where they despised it. And they had the appetite for the old life. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And when you receive me, then pray this prayer. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Meaning you need to learn to draw daily from what you have chosen. If you say you've chosen this, then what are you doing eating this? That's why, you know, it's amazing how we can see it so easy in other people's life, but in our own life, we don't even see that we're doing it sometimes. Listen, you know you got mad at Odell Beckham for being on that boat in Miami when he's supposed to be getting ready for the playoffs. This is the first time they've been into the playoffs for years, and the week before the playoffs, he's on a party boat partying it up. And I got mad at him because I said, if you're all in over here, what you doing on the boat over there, right? And so people started Twitter hating and Facebook hating, and they're not even on the team. But yet in their own life, they will say, this is what I'm in for. I'm all in on this, but they're not eating and living and doing what they're confessing here. And we think a guy that runs with a pigskin has a greater responsibility than those that have eternal life. I'm trying to preach. Can we get to the next verse so I can read the one after that? I already told you. I told somebody last week I had to start with 6 because 7, 8, 9, you remember? And it just hit me. I need to write a children's book, 7, 8, 9. I'm going to write a children's book called 7, 8, 9. 7, 8, 9, so we had to go back to 6. But praise the Lord for 6, who made a right decision and spoke to 7, offered him something different to eat. And when he ate it, 9 was resurrected, and they all lived happily ever after. The point is, even though I don't care whether you were 7 and you ate 9, or whether you were 9 and got 8, thank God someone before all of you did something for you to change the heart of 7, to change the food of 8, and to resurrect 9. 7, 8, 9. It's a children's book, because every kid here gets it. Yeah. So stuff happened in my life. My parents got divorced. 7, 8, 9. But thank God for Jesus who came before that. And in the middle of hurts, he can resurrect and raise and make me to be able to walk on a path that is not lacking. 7, 8, 9. Can we preach that one? Can our kids get that one? 7, 8, 9 will preach. Take it to the preschools, I'm telling you. Because my little girl gets it. 7, 8, 9. You get it? She had that swallow the canary look. I'm like, okay. I'm going to explain it to you when we get home, okay, sweetie? I'm going to explain it. 7, 8, 9. Let's keep reading. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify, declare righteous, put in right standing with himself, the Gentiles or the world who wasn't connected to Abraham's natural seed, but he wanted you to become one of Abraham's children, even though you're not a natural Jew. There could be a natural Jew here. Raise your hand if you're a natural born Jew. Your bloodline is from Abraham naturally. Raise your hand. We have a maybe one. We have a maybe one, right? But everybody here, raise your hand if you have the blessing of Abraham. Well, that's an inheritance for his children. How did you get it? It's an inheritance for his children. It's not a wage from working so hard. It's an inheritance for his children's 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 children. If you're not one of his natural children, then how are you telling me that you have the inheritance of Abraham? And everybody knows, because by faith, I have been engrafted in to the same blessing, and the same way that it was counted as righteousness for him has been counted as righteousness for me. So God, foreseeing the true seed of Abraham would be those with like faith. So the Gentiles or the world or the people that the Jews thought were dirty, how could they ever have the blessing of God? All you have to do is have the same faith. All you have to do is make the same choice. All you have to do is cleave and draw from the same life. All you have to do is connect to the same vine. So you and I, Gentiles, all of us but half of us, half of a person, because we don't know how, you weren't sure. Not positive. I only gave you a half. The name, Abelman. And he came from Germany. Well, I don't mean to be like I'm judgmental, but that sounds German. Doesn't that sound German? Oh, German Jewish. Okay. I'm going to give you half credit. You remember in class where they used to give you half a point? Yeah. We should do an ancestry.com search for her. But the point is that we know that God has offered us something, but some of us don't really expect to draw from the inheritance of Abraham. We don't really expect to live blessed like him. Why not? if you're received the same thing he did and are drawing from the same well that he drank from and have the same thing according to the word of God, and God has accounted your account the same as he accounted Abraham's account, why don't you expect blessing for you? It's a faith issue, right? It's a faith issue. I'm just going to keep reading a little further, all the way to 14. Glad tidings of a Savior long beforehand to Abraham in the promise, saying, "In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." His blessing was a blessing to other people. When you learn to live by this blessing, it's a blessing to other people. Because the Bible says, connected to God, he says your cup should run over. You should be overfilling and overfull. And you should bear fruit. And if you want to offer the world anything, give them a taste of the blessing. Give them the taste of peace. Let them see what joy unspeakable tastes like. Let them see a miracle. Let them hear about healing that didn't come from the curse. Let them know about a future and a recovery from things that said they ate you. But you can say, "I'm nine and I'm still here." Let them know about it. This is what we're supposed to offer the world. And so because Abraham did it, God says, just by one doing it, I can go down that line and I can bless every family on earth. Because of one person's decision. How much do you matter more than a million sparrows? You are important to God. He died so that you personally could be saved. Have you made your decision? Are you drawing from the life and blessing of God? Almost there, almost there. So then, those who are people of faith are blessed and made happy. I'm grabbing, this is my faith. My faith has me holding on to this. I didn't earn it, but my faith tapped me into it. I didn't earn it. I didn't get right, and then God accept me. He accepted me and offered himself. I chose it, and so I'm happy. I'm fortunate. I'm blessed right here in my choice. I looked up at my account, and it looks pretty good. But even now that it's good, there's more. You haven't tapped into everything God has. Now, you might have tapped into it, but you're not enjoying everything God's done for you. Did you know when you tapped into salvation, you had access to healing? Whatever was named from the curse is no longer supposed to be part of your account. So if it came from the curse, and when the curse came, that was the separation of man and God, Adam and Eve, leaving the garden. So poverty didn't come until the curse showed up. So when I'm over here and I look up at my account, poverty should not be in my account. If poverty's in my account, somehow I still have something connected that's drawing from what's not mine anymore. Sickness didn't come on the scene. Death didn't come on the scene. That's why everybody who's saved, we no longer fear death because we know, absent from this body, present with the Lord. This body might go back to the dust, but my spirit is going back to the Father. So I know that my expectation isn't 6 feet deep. My expectation is the presence of God because I'm returning from where I came and I am linked to this blessing that came from God. I'm trying to make it simple. You're happy, you're favored by God as a partner in fellowship, a partner with God. Who here would be happy to be a partner with Bill Gates? Well, Bill Gates can't connect you to the blessing unless he is. But yet, sometimes we would sacrifice the blessing of God for the richness of man. We would rather be partners with somebody who seems to have something than to God himself. So we have to look at our partnerships. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. How can you connect with somebody connected over there? Your whole job is to disconnect from everybody over there and to offer them this. Come connect over here. No, let go of that. Quit grabbing me and pulling me that way. Let go. You come this way. You can hear how the preaching goes. So we're favored by God, partners in fellowship with the believing and trusting with Abraham. Man, I'm blessed. I'm rich. I'm favored. I'm alive. I can do all things. Nothing is impossible. I don't have to ask my money if I can. I tell my money what I'm going to do. And I say, get there. I tell my money what to do. I don't wait to see if I have the money to do something. I go to God and say, God, can I do it? Shall I do it? And if he says yes, I call money. Money, you're going to have to come over here because God said. Money! Because if you wait till money tells you you can do it, trust me, you haven't started. You haven't even started because money has not told you yet, oh, go for that dream. Oh, just go for it. Don't get me wrong. I don't like bad stewardship. I don't agree with bad stewardship. But bad stewardship is not what I'm talking about with the faith and account of God. That's great stewardship. It would be bad stewardship to have the favor of God walking around broke. That's bad stewardship. That's bad stewardship. That was free. Because I know you might not value that one. So I'm just going to, if it's free and you don't value it, no biggie. And all who depend on the law, who are seeking to be justified by obedience to the laws of rituals, anybody that wants to be justified in God by what you do in your own goodness, we call that the law. You and your own goodness. By yourself. God, just show me what to do and I'll do it good myself. I don't need you. I'll just do it myself. We call that the law. So anybody that depends on it are under a curse and doomed. And so when we present good and evil, why would you want to do it yourself to be cursed and doomed? Or maybe it's never been spelled out clear enough where you see it. I'm asking the question, have I made it clear enough where everybody can see and choose for themselves on this day so it can be recorded in heaven and earth, blessed or cursed? What's heaven saying about you right now? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? If you're connected to the blessing, you do know. What does the blessing say about you? Not cursed, highly favored, righteous before God. Their seed is blessed. The whole world's going to know them because I'm blessing them. They're the lights of the world. They're peculiar. I know I'm different. I love it. I put this shirt on because I'm different. My wife looked at me and grinned and bared it. That's all she could do. I almost kind of showed off like David before, too. I just wanted her to see it. So anybody that tries to stay connected to this, it's not judgment for me to tell you you're cursed. It's not judgment to tell me. The world, if they don't choose God, are cursed. Meaning they're living under the umbrella, under the nature, and under the expectation of what they can do for their eternal self, for themselves for eternity. And the Bible says no one can give themselves eternity. Who's going to make themselves? Like when you die, who's going to wake you up? You got an alarm clock? Without God, how are you going to rise? How are you going to get to where he's at? How are you not going to be counted as evil before him? Whose righteousness are you going to use? What name are you going to go to the door and say, hey, and give him a name to come in? It's all offered free. If you feel like problems follow you, maybe it's not following you. Maybe it's just coming through you. Maybe it's being drawn from you. Maybe it's being channeled from you. And God says, I want you to divorce expectations of the curse in your life. I want you to get familiar with. It takes a long time to get familiar with the benefits of the blessing. Just because you've been saved for X amount of time doesn't mean you're familiar with being blessed. Sometimes it's still hard to believe. I'll tell you when you really get there is when you sin and you don't take 3 weeks to repent because you feel so bad and you're like, how could God forgive me again? After a while, you learn, just real quickly, Lord, you're that good. You're that good. You're that good. So why would I try to not be connected to you or draw from you when the only help for my situation, I hate that I did that again, or I hate that I ran that way. I can't believe I said that. But disconnecting from you is not the answer. The answer is to quickly eat some of your bread and draw some of your water. Quickly, quickly, drink, 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 eat, eat, eat. But the Bible says it's the devil. The book is closed. I'm not going to get to the end. I got much more for you. Can't get there. The band can come behind me. But the Bible says he wants everyone to choose life. Not only to choose it, but to draw from it.